Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 38. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 38.
Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 38 reads this way. It says, "The saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together here in your house. And then, Lord, calling upon you to open up our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, once again, that you might be honored and glorified and highly exalted in our lives. Lord, that you would empower our hearts and minds to be the light and the salt of the earth you've called us to be, that we might be faithful witnesses, Lord, of your great grace that you've given to us, that others also might believe, as you've commissioned the church, Lord, to tell others that they might be saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "Who Hath Believed Our Report?" That's a good question, isn't it? Who hath believed our report? And again, these are all things that have been spoken by the Lord hundreds of years prior, and all these things now are coming to pass during the Lord's earthly ministry. And so the Lord's word is perfect, amen? It's always right on time, and it always fulfills its purpose. It never falls short. We can always count on that. And so tonight, as we consider that question, who hath believed our report, let's consider three truths. And first of all, we'll see, or three events really that took place. The Lord spoke about bringing forth much fruit here. But first of all, we're going to see those that said, we would see Jesus. Amen. That's a good thing to say. We would see Jesus. They were brought about by the work of the Lord to call upon the Lord and then bringing forth much fruit. And then the last thought will be spiritual light and spiritual darkness. That's important. God wants us to be aware of that as well. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 20, and notice what's taking place here. Again, the Lord had supper at Bethany, and then he was on the next day, he had the triumphal entry, and people were saying, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And of course, that was signifying the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God. And now we continue to move on. And the Pharisees were concerned there in verse 19 about the world going after him. And notice what it says here in verse 20. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So they get this information there. These Greeks, we're not told much about them. We don't know if they're Hellenistic type Jews that were from Greece, or if they were really Gentile Greeks that had come to worship the Lord. Remember, listen, when Paul was during his earthly ministry, he received the Macedonian call, and the Lord would tell him at different times, "I have many that are mine that are there," you know, and just paraphrasing that. And remember Elijah also, when he was defeated, not really defeated, but overwhelmed with Jezebel, and he thought he was the only one. The Lord told him, how many more? 7,000 more that had not bowed the knee to Baal. Sometimes we can feel like we're the only ones, but the Lord has a work that he does with his word that will not fall short. Amen. But may you and I desire to be used for the honor and glory of the Lord and to be part of that. Not everybody is part of the work of God. But as a saved child of God, we've been given the opportunity to allow the Lord and call upon the Lord to do that work in our lives. And so notice what's going on here. Again, the world is being moved. And again, if they were Jewish Greeks or just Gentile Greeks, regardless, the Lord is opening up the opportunity for all to come in. And God's moving and working for them to come and worship him. And they wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, there are people, I believe, in Columbia, Missouri, that God wants to see saved. Now, he wants all of them to be saved, but there are those that are ready and wanting to be saved. I believe in every generation. Listen, it couldn't be, the darker it gets, and it's dark in our society, the greater the light will shine in a dark and dying place. So we thank the Lord for that. So here we see these Greeks that are calling on the Lord. And then notice what the Lord says here in verse 23. And Jesus answered them. Remember, Philip and Andrew said, hey, they want to see you. Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour is come, even today, this hour, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Notice what the Lord says here. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. Listen, we have to die to ourselves if God is going to produce fruit. We have to deny ourselves if the Lord is going to work in and through our lives. Or we're not going to be in a place to be receptive to the things of God. We won't understand them. We have to say, Lord, I need you to show me. Listen, I can't on my own fulfill your will. I need you to show me exactly what that is. So the Lord says here, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what?
Fruit.
Much fruit. Amen? Much fruit. So what is the fruit of a believer? Well, we know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, right? We're told that in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of a believer is really, what is the fruit of an apple tree?
Apples.
What is the fruit of a corn stalk? Corn. What is the fruit of human beings? Of the fruit of the womb, right? Children, human beings. And so what is the fruit of a believer? More believers, amen? More Christians is what the Lord wants to see. So notice what he says here. He, verse 25, that loveth his life shall lose it. He that thinks more of his life shall say, you know what, Lord? It's yours. And then he says this, and he that hateth his life, Lord, I don't want this life anymore. And notice what he says, shall keep it unto life eternal. Once again, what is he saying? Lord, it's yours. Lord, even so, come quickly. We want to see you. But you know what? More important than anything else, Lord, is that you would have your will in my life. Notice what he says. Then he picks up in verse 26, if any man what? Serve me. So he's talking about serving the Lord, is he not? So this is all about service. We have to die. The individual has to die to self if God is going to use them. We cannot serve. Listen, God is not looking for into the world and saying, boy, you know what? I could use some engineers. I could use some piano players. That's not what God's looking for. God is looking for a willing vessel to trust him by faith. See, he wasn't looking at Moses because of his talent. In fact, did he choose Israel because they were a great and mighty nation? No, in fact, they were the weakest of all nations, weren't they? But he chose to, see, God has a plan and a path that will honor and glorify him, and we need him to reveal that to us so that we might walk in his ways. And so he's explaining some things here, and he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. God is going to honor those that serve him. And so the Lord, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong, show God himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts or lives are perfect or right towards him. So God, listen, fathom this thought. God is wanting a people that are holy and peculiar and set apart for his honor and glory. It's God's will. He wants to use all of his children. But the question is, do we want him to use us? If we do want him to use us, then we need to say, Lord, I need you to show me the way. I'm calling upon you, Lord, to do your work and give me your wisdom and understanding in my heart and mind to walk in your ways. Because we can think, well look, Lord, here's what I see that needs to be done. And let me ask you a question. Is there not a lot of work to be done that we can get busy with and do a whole bunch of things? But what is needful, we don't want to miss out. Remember Martha? She was cumbered about much serving. Oh boy, she was busy, 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 busy. But what did the Lord say to her? Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about much, right? About many things, about much serving. But one thing is needful, and who chose that? Her sister Mary chose that. One thing is needful is for us to seek the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and to walk and follow after him. So he says here, he says, if any man serve me, at the bottom of verse 26, him will my Father honor. Notice he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Now listen, the Lord's our example, is it not? Is he not? He's our example. And so when we stop and think about, listen to what he's saying. He says, now, in verse 27, is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Listen, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Has the Lord surrendered his glory to come into the world? Has the Lord submitted himself, how much, to the Father? Completely into the Father's hand. See, we can't come to the Lord halfway. We're either all in or we're not. That's how the Lord works. And by the way, listen, there have been a lot of people that died on Roman crosses, were there not? That was their way of execution. And he cried out, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did he not? Do you know that there are people that died on Roman crosses that didn't even make a sound? Didn't even make a sound. And some might say, well, my goodness, their death was a little more quieter. Their death was maybe a little bit more honorable. Oh, no. Listen, the difference is that the Lord had not his sins. He had no sin. Not the sins of one person. And I promise you, people who die without the Lord Jesus Christ cannot bear their own punishment that they rightly deserve. The Lord Jesus Christ did not just bear the sins of one person at that time, but the Lord bore the sin of the whole world. The whole world. All those who have ever lived, all those who were living during the time of the Lord, and all those that would live after, that would put their faith. In fact, the price has been paid for everybody. Nobody has an excuse to say, I can't go to heaven. Because Jesus Christ paid for everybody's sin, whether they receive that gift or not. Listen to this. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for every living soul that has ever and will ever live. Every single soul has been paid for. And you and I do not even understand that death and that separation and that anguish that the Lord endured for our eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That is a wonderful thing that the Lord did for us. So here's the real question. What is God worthy from us? Have we been bought with a price, an unbelievable price? We wouldn't want to trade anything for our eternal life, would we? Of course not. And so notice what he says. He says, again, now is my soul troubled, verse 27, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Notice, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. This is the third time that a voice from heaven came down and said, I have glorified it. Amen? And I will glorify it. And that's wonderful. That's a great truth. And so the Lord is yielded. He's our example. He is yielded to the Father's will. And because the Lord loves us. And that's an amazing truth. So notice what happens here in verse 29. The people, therefore, because of what they heard, stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. No, the Heavenly Father spoke, didn't they? Didn't he? He spoke to the Son, but they were there. They heard it, and what happened? They got it wrong. So if they were there and they heard it and got it wrong, we, thousands of years later, looking at, can we get things wrong? Can we miss things? We can miss things. So what God is wanting us to see is that we need him to do everything. I've mentioned this before, but it's important. I don't believe we have the strength to surrender our will. We can have the desire. We can have the desire, but we need the Lord's help, don't we? Lord, I want to give you my life. That's a good thing. I want to lay my life down. But here's the truth, Lord. I can't. Will you lay it down for me? I believe we do business with the Lord. Lord, I want to die to self. The truth is, Lord, I can't. I can't. We just think we can. And the next thing you know, we're acting in ourself again. We're walking in ourself. We're living in ourself. We're thinking like we think and not like the Lord thinks. Right? And so, Lord, this day and every day, until I see you face to face, I want to lay down my life. I want to give you my life. I need you to lay it down. And I believe that honors and glorifies the Lord. And so notice what he says here. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Isn't that something? This word, this what you heard was for you. But they missed it, didn't they? They missed it. But he says, this is for you. Now, verse 31, "Is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Notice what he says. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And we know why he said that. He's telling everybody how he's going to die. Again, verse 33, "This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?'" Who is the Son of Man? Isn't that amazing? He stood right in front of them, promised to them, and did not know who he was. We are frail and feeble without the help of God. Listen, there are so many truths that God has put right in front of us that we will misunderstand. And if we're not careful in our pride, think we got it and have it completely wrong. And completely miss the will and the work that God wants to do in the life of every believer. See, that's why we have to humbly approach the Lord. "Lord, unless you guide me, not maybe, I will fail you. Lord, unless you work in my life, I will not see what you want me to see." We do not have it without the Lord. We don't. Listen, when I was lost, I made one attempt one time, maybe a couple times, to read the Bible. And I got to the first thee and the first thou, and I said, "Man, this I can't get into this." You know why? No spirit. No spirit. I mean, I could have read it as a historical book, but that wasn't going to take me very far. But when I got saved, I was having, and I still have, all these aha moments. That's what that means. That's what that means. Wow. And that was the difference that God makes in our lives. We need the Lord. God never intended us to serve him without him. We're dependent on him or we'll miss him. And so they're saying, "Hey, listen, we heard that Christ abideth forever." But here's what they miss: the cross before the crown. They jumped right to the crown. And you know what? Listen, if we're gonna faithfully serve the Lord, you know what the Lord said? We're going to suffer.
Amen.
We're going to be tried. And rightly so, to the honor and glory of the Lord. Was Job a faithful servant? Was he tried?
Yes.
How about Daniel? Was he a faithful servant?
Yes.
Was he tried?
Yes.
How about Joseph? How about Moses? Amen? How about all of these people how about Elijah that we talked about today in Sunday school?
Yes.
And he grew weary of the battle, didn't he? And we understand that because we've experienced that at different times. It's sometimes it's hard, but it only becomes hard when we're looking to ourselves. And that's what Elijah did. I'm the only one left. You see, did anybody tell you what I did for you, Lord? And listen, the Lord was working through him, but he had to get his eyes off of who?
Himself.
And where did he have to put his eyes? On the Lord. And listen, we have to hold the truth with high regard. We cannot, listen, so when the Word of God says something and there is a contradiction in our lives and it's missing and it's not right, we have to bring it before the Lord and say, "Lord, I need you to fix it." Not just say, "Well, I'm only human." Oh, well, after all, I mean, you know, grace. Is that what the Lord said? Oh, well, listen, it's okay. You know, live like the world, live like the devil. It's grace. Or did God say, you have been changed, you have been made a new creature, a new creation? And so that's the truth, isn't it? God has changed me, and so what are we to look for but the change that God has promised he's bringing into our lives? And if that change is not there, we're to bring it before the Lord and say, there's a problem here, Lord. I have got the misunderstanding. Here's what I've come to this conclusion. I came to different things in seminary school. I was just so inundated with so much information. And as a new believer, you know, I'd only been saved a few years prior to that. And I'm looking at all this stuff, and some of the stuff I did not understand. And I came to this conclusion, and I've never been sorry for it. If there's a misunderstanding, it's on my part. Many times I thought, well, that almost sounds a little bit like a contradictory there. And I would say, nope, it's all, I missed it. And sure enough, you know what? I would research it, and the Lord would show me, yep, this is how it fits together. Amen. This is how it works. God has never failed in his word. God has never failed to show me and to give me understanding and wisdom when I've come to a point and place where I have a misunderstanding. And I've come to the conclusion, if there's a misunderstanding, it's always on my part. Amen? And I'm safe with that, and I'm happy with that, and I praise God for that. Because God is faithful, and he's omniscient and all-powerful, and I thank the Lord for that. So, notice what he says. He says, so I'm doing this for your sakes. And notice what he says, again, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And they missed that. There's a truth in that, but they missed the cross. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Now listen, we looked at those that wanted to see the Lord. We looked at bringing forth much fruit. And the last thought for tonight is spiritual light and spiritual darkness. And this is what the Lord's getting ready to share with them. Those who'd say, well, wait a minute. We read in the scriptures that Christ is going to live forever. So here's the truth. Listen, even as a saved child of God, if we're walking with a misunderstanding, we are going to be walking in spiritual darkness. Are we not? If we're going to believe something that is not in the Word of God, or if we're going to reject something that is in the Word of God, are we walking in the light or in darkness? That's powerful. If Jesus said, this is the way to walk, and we are not walking in that way, we cannot excuse it to our weakness. Because God says, I have redeemed you. I have bought you with a price, and I have a plan and a will for you to follow after me. So at the very least, we would say, we're not like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not following the Lord. So are we to settle for that? No, because if we settle for that, we will never see the grace of God in our lives that enables us and changes us from the inside out. So as we evaluate life, I mean, the Lord said a lot of things to his people, did he not? Who is to be living in us? All right, but every day we have to yield to him. So we have to ask ourselves, is this what the Lord would do? Am I following the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of my life? Is my thinking following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are my actions following the Lord? Do I have a covenant with my heart and with my eyes to the glory of God and with my words? Because the Bible says that's how we're going to be judged, by what we say. Every word and the intent. You know how some people say, oh, well, I didn't mean that, and they really did mean it, and we don't really know that, but we do know that we've all probably said that. Got ourselves in trouble as kids or something? Oh, that's not what I meant. Baloney. Baloney. And here's the real truth. God knows. And you and I will give an account for everything we said and everything we will do, whether it was to the glory of God or for ourselves. That's powerful. And this excuse won't fly. The wife you gave me. That's what Adam said, wasn't it? And what did Eve say? The devil. We have an accountability before the Lord for everything we do and everything we say.
Amen.
And if we're not serious, and by the way, listen, if we're not serious with the Lord, do you believe that God can lead us in life in a way that would honor and glorify Him?
Amen.
We need Him to do that in everything. And so the Lord is saying to the believers here and to people who are listening, notice verse 35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light. This is spiritual light. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. Were his disciples there? Were other believers there? And we know some lost people were there. And so he's saying this to everybody. You can be saved and walk in darkness, can we not? We can be saved and walk in darkness. Is that what we want to settle for? No. Then we have given our hearts to dishonor the Lord. God wants a holy people to shine a light. But we cannot be halfway committed to Him. We have to either be for Him completely. Because if we have reservations and we're going to allow things into our lives, we're not walking upright. We're walking in darkness. You cannot flirt with sin and be right before the Lord. We can't. You cannot excuse sin. Whatever God says is sin, is sin.
Amen.
And so if we have mixed emotions, we need to bring them before the Lord for Him to fix them. If we are not being genuine, wholehearted in everything that we do and say, we've got a problem that needs to be brought before the Lord. If it's going to be fixed. Now, we don't have to do that. We can just walk our own way. But are we walking in the light or in darkness? As a saved child of God, we could be walking in darkness. Thinking, oh no, I'm right. Peter thought that, didn't he? I won't forsake you. And he did. So, he says this, he says, again, verse 35, then Jesus answered unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So this is the lost world, right? Okay, now watch what happens. That the saying of Isaiah, so he's speaking specifically to those who are rejecting walking in the light. And notice what he says about that. He says that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And by the way, this is talking about Isaiah chapter 53, which is revealing the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. He said, who's done this? Who's believed our report? Therefore, and by the way, how will we know to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? Won't they be walking in the light? Won't they not be in the darkness? And so that's a distinguishing difference that the Lord makes in our lives. Verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Did you see what happened right there? They could not see or hear the truth. And they rejected the Lord. And what did the Lord said? Okay, then they're going to walk in that darkness. Do you realize what we choose to walk in is where we're going to walk? If we have no desire for God to change us, if we don't believe Him in the littlest bit that He can change us, we will be walking in darkness. We will be doing things look at Judas. How did that happen? How did that happen? He walked with the Lord. He was right in His presence and rejected Him. That's scary, isn't it?
Amen.
that he could do that and then sell out the Lord and then go out and hang himself. He found no repentance. I don't understand that. But that to me is, listen, God gives us over to our desires. Good or bad. I don't want to be given over to the things that God says are bad. To the things that, God, I need you to change me. I need you to be the difference in my life. I need you to be the light in my life. And so, he says he's blinded their eyes. Their heart was darkened. They didn't understand. They saw all the same things that the believers did, but they rejected it. Notice verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Did Isaiah see the truth? And he glorified the Lord. He was praising the Lord. He was praising God for his faithfulness and for his judgment to those who've rejected him. Listen, as long as there's breath, we will reach out to the lost. Amen? Amen. But when they've made their choice to reject, that's on them. That's not on us. We want to be truthful to the Lord and faithful to him, but their choice is theirs. Notice again, verse 42. Listen to this. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, listen to this, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. They would not confess the Lord. These are believers in failure, are they not? Why? Verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise. They would rather please and appease human beings over God. I will excuse the word of God because I want to fit in with this person or this group. That's what it says there. They wanted to fit in with the Pharisees. Those who walked contrary to the word of God. Why did sepulcher full of dead men's bones? Isn't that what the Lord said? And these professors of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would rather choose that group. How do you think they stand before the Lord? Honorable or dishonorable? Saved yet so as by fire, if that's what they want. That's not what I want. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, verse 44, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Amen. Ties everything together. Now listen, in closing, I want you to think about something. True story, many years ago in Glasgow Green, this is in Scotland, There was a preaching service there, a meeting, right? Many people were gathered there. Hundreds of people were gathered there. And at the conclusion of the preaching service, a man in the crowd asked permission to say a few words. So the preacher said, okay. So he stood up and he said, friends, here's what he said after he heard the message from the Word of God. I don't believe what this man has been preaching. In fact, I don't believe in hell. In fact, not only do I not believe in hell, I don't believe in a judgment, and I don't even believe in God, for I never saw one of them. Isn't that amazing? Then another man stood up and said, may I say a few words? And the preacher said, sure, friend, go on. And then he said, friends, you say there's a river running not far from this place, the River Clyde. He said, there's no such thing. It's untrue. You tell me that there are trees and grass growing all around me here where I now stand. There's no such thing that this is also untrue. You tell me that there are a great many people standing here. And again, I say, it's not true. There are no people standing here except for myself. You ask what I'm talking about? You see, I was born blind, and I never saw any of you, and while I talk, it only reveals that I'm blind or that I would say such things. Then he turned to the infidel who did not believe, and he said, the more you talk, the more you expose your ignorance because you are spiritually blind and cannot see. So here's the question. Have we been given sight to see the truth and to walk in the truth? And are we calling upon the Lord? That we would be faithful to Him above who? Everyone. Our loyalty and faithfulness belongs to not me. Right? We could be faithful to me. That means self is on the throne. We could be faithful to ourselves and what we think and what we say and how we think things ought to go. Or we can look to the Word of God and say, this is the rule and nothing else in my life. And when we come to certain conclusions, we ought to be able to go to the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. And if the Lord hasn't said it, then we ought to keep our mouths quiet. Because we are headed for trouble when we stand before the Lord. And if God has said it, then we ought to be faithful to it. And if we can't do it, then we need to call upon the Lord to perform what He's promised and called us to. You and I don't have the light. We know that. You and I are faulted with frailties and flaws, are we not? We have no power of our own to glorify the Lord. So we must humbly, see, Lord, I need You. I need You. But if we can go days without calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord, unless You lead me to honor and glorify You, where's our heart? Can we expect revival? What do we think revival? Revival is a vibrant relationship with our Creator and Savior. A faithful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace and power. And here's the thing. You and I cannot organize that to take place. But we can ask God for it. Wait, in our own lives. That's where revival begins. Lord, I want to surrender my will. How much of my will? All of my will. In other words, if You say this is wrong, I'm holding to You, not what I feel or what I think. Whatever You say, that's what I'm going to follow. So it is incumbent on the believer to really know what the Lord is saying and not to make excuses. And say, Lord, because do You believe You're going to stand before God Almighty one day? We're going to all stand before Him. How will we stand? That's a good question, isn't it? Faithful if we're calling upon the Lord to guide us. Faithful if we're asking Him to open up our hearts and minds to hear Him. Amen. And to follow after Him. Not what I think, not how I feel, but thus saith the Lord. So here's the question again. Listen. The title of the message, Who Hath Believed Our Report? That's what Isaiah was saying the Lord was talking to him about. How about us? Do we believe the Lord's report? You know where the Lord's report is at? In the Word of God. And if we will seek to not compromise the Word of God, we'll not be misled. And God says, come, doesn't He? Come, and I'll show you the way. To what? Life. Amen? Not just eternal life. We've been given that if we've trusted the Lord as our Savior, but His life in our life, that we might commune with Him as He had the relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. Isn't that what He said there in John chapter 17? That they might be in us? So God says, come. The opportunity is ours. The invitation is the Lord's. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne thanking You again for Your word and for Your promises that You've given to each and every one of us that know You as Savior. And Lord, I pray that we would see the seriousness of the time and the matter at hand, Lord, and that's our relationship with You. Bless and draw our hearts to You. And Lord, may we call upon You to fulfill Your will in our lives. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.